Let's open in our Bibles tonight to the 119th Psalm.
I'd like to go back and read that passage out of Psalm 12, but when you have 18 points, kind of try to spare time a little bit. Of course, we covered the first 5 points last week, but 18 functions of God's Word, the value it has in our lives, the things that it'll accomplish. Number one was we saw that it insulates against sin in Psalm 119:11. Number two, we saw it gives hope from Psalm 119:74. Then we saw, thirdly, it upholds from Psalm 119:116. It generates light, Psalm 119:130. It orders our steps, Psalm 119:133. And that's as far as we got last week, so we'll be in verse 162. It seems odd having such large numbers for a verse number, but nevertheless, there it is, Psalm 119:162. Here we read, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And so we see the word of God produces joy. Joy is one thing that is sadly lacking in our country today, and not just in the secular world, but also in Christians, in churches across our country and across our world. They're lacking in joy. I was reading an email I got today. It's someone I didn't recognize. It was actually in my junk folder, but it looked like something that was worth reading. And so I looked it up, and it really wasn't worth reading. But what it is, it's a fellow who is a quote-unquote Christian counselor. I'm very skeptical when they call themselves Christian counselors, because usually what they do is they just teach the same thing that the secular ones do as well. But he was mentioning a survey that Barna Research had done, and essentially the results of the survey were that 50% of people are suffering from mental illness of one type or another, stress, depression, things like that. And where's our joy? And this was Christian people. And he was directing this email towards pastors, saying that, when you look out at your congregation, half of them are suffering from some sort or some type of mental illness. Well, the problem is we've forsaken the Word of God. If we get back into the Word of God, we find the joy that passes all understanding. We find the, look a couple verses down. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And so the joy and the peace that the world is trying so hard to find is found by applying ourselves to God's Word. Now, when I went to college at Massillon Baptist College, my first year, there was a student that was in his final year by the name of Tom Crowley. The rest of my time there, Tom Crowley, who later became Dr. Crowley, was on staff at the Massillon Baptist Temple as a janitor. It wasn't long after I graduated that Dr. Crowley became Dr. Crowley and became the dean of the college. And as dean of the college, you're stuck teaching the first year Bible doctrine class. And you probably don't realize the significance of the first year Bible doctrine class. But if you sat in that class, you would realize that the first year students have everything figured out. They know it all. And so to try to teach them what the Word of God teaches can be quite the struggle. And Dr. Crowley's favorite verse was this verse in Psalm 119, when he would quote it all the time, from what I understand from people who had his class, when he would say, "Great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them." And that was his way to try to settle the fellows down that didn't agree with what was being taught in Bible doctrine class. And so, peace and joy, two wonderful things that can be found by applying ourselves to God's Word. Now, I think verse 165 is an interesting statement when he says, "Great peace have they which," that next word, "love." Because we might put apply themselves to, where we might put obey. But God chose to use the word love. Now, in this case, I believe the word obey and the word apply are both synonymous with this word love. But what God is trying to tell us is that we need to have an affection for the Word of God. We can come to it as a rule book, and we can conform just like we were when we were kids and we wanted to do something and our parents said, no, before you can do that, you've got to go clean your room, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, excuse me, that chore. If we truly love God's Word, instead of just seeing it as a list of rules and conforming just because we know we have to, then we'll understand the peace. But if we're fighting against God's rules, even if we're obeying them, but if there's that inward tension because I really don't want to do this, but I'm only doing it because God requires me to, we'll never understand the peace. And so I believe there's a reason why God chose to use that word love. And it goes right along, that peace goes right along with the joy that we read of in verse 162. All right, well, let's move along. We've got a whole lot of points here. We're not going to finish it tonight, at least I don't anticipate it. Verse 169, just a few more verses down. Here the Bible says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word." And so it gives understanding. Have fun fitting that in that little blank. I squeezed it in, but you can't hardly read it because my letters are so close together. But it gives understanding. There's a lot of things that are confusing in our world as we look at what's going on, and we see the world spiraling downward into sin and getting further and further away from God. And it's easy to question what in the world is going on here and to be dazed and confused in all of this. But if we read the Word of God, we understand what's going on. I believe we're getting ever closer to the Lord's return. Well, I mean, that's just obvious because we're getting, as we progress into the future, but I believe His return is imminent. And if it's to be imminent, if it's going to happen in our lifetimes, the world will become as it's described in the Bible in the last days. And it's not a pleasant picture or a pretty picture that God paints of what this world will be like in the last days before the Lord's return. And so we understand it. We don't have to like it, but we understand what's going on and we understand why culture is going the way it's going. I wasn't going to even show this. I'm kind of embarrassed to even possess this, but one of our church members gave me this as they came in. I don't know if you can read it or if you got one, maybe you know what it says, but it's from Jars Cannabis. 40% off select brands. Now, the reason it's still in my pocket is because I didn't want to throw it in a church wastebasket. Honest, that is the truth. And then it has 20 days of dope on this side. And giveaways, win your share of $100,000 in prizes. And it goes and lists the different prizes. It's interesting. None of them are marijuana. They're all other stuff. But anyway, that's where our culture is. Who would have ever thought in our lifetimes, every last one of us in the room, and Guy, I think, is the youngest one in the room, even in his lifetime, earlier, who would have ever imagined we'd be where we are? And I wonder how many people are around, looking around dazed and confused at what's going on, and we know the answer. We don't like it, but we've got the answer, don't we? We find it in God's Word. That's the value of God's Word. As we learn it, we study it, we understand the world around us, and we can filter every happening through the filters of God's Word. We understand what's going on in Israel, and we understand Israel's right to defend itself. We don't have to join the crazies that are marching against Israel and calling Israel the terrorist and saying all this war is Israel's fault, even though the attack was on their innocent people. We understand what's going on. We understand the hatred between those two peoples going all the way back before the New Testament. And so the Word of God gives us understanding. It helps us understand even the events in our own personal lives. It lets us know that trials are given to us for a purpose, whether it be chastisement or just a lesson, something to be taught to us, something just to strengthen us and mature us and draw us closer to God. We understand these things. And so we don't walk around in a daze and walk around scratching our heads. We just trust God and we keep moving forward with that joy and that peace that the world doesn't have a clue about. But if we forsake the Word of God, we forsake those things, don't we? And so these are, the Word of God is the source of these things. All right, we could spend a lot of time in Psalm 119, but let's look in some other books. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. This is a verse that I took a lot of comfort in. This one and the one that precedes it. Just after I got saved and I tried to share the gospel with my brother who just didn't understand it, couldn't grasp it. And at first I was so discouraged, then I ran across this verse and I realized, you know, I'm not wasting my time because the Word of God renders fruit. We may not see that fruit or understand what that fruit is. When we hear the word fruit, especially when it comes to sharing the gospel, we think, well, fruit means they're going to get saved. Well, not necessarily. It does its job. It does its purpose, accomplishes its purpose. And so that person who heard the gospel, had it shared with them, and stands before the great white throne judgment, will remember they had the opportunity. God gave it to them, and they blew it. All right, let's read that verse, Psalm 55, verse number 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper. You notice there's no question, no doubt thrown in here. It shall not return. It shall accomplish. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That's the promise of God. And so when we give out gospel tracts, Pastor Stephen, when they picked up the mower, did you give the fella a tract and invite him to church?
I believe I did, yes.
Okay. I could tell by the look on his face when I gave him one when he dropped it off this morning. And it was just like, don't these guys ever talk to each other? He told me what church he goes to. He needs a gospel tract. And he may not read it. He may just throw it away. But he had the opportunity, didn't he? He put it in his pocket. He had God's word in his pocket that tells him how he can have eternal life. And so it always renders fruit. It always accomplishes its purpose. It'd be wonderful if its purpose was that everyone gets saved. And certainly that's God's desire. We know and we have his promise that he's not willing that any should perish. But so many just don't take it seriously. They have their own religion and they're sticking with it no matter what. And that is so unfortunate because so much of religion is so contradictory to the Word of God. All right, let's turn to the New Testament. In John chapter 8, I'm going to try to get through these in John and then finish this up, Lord willing, next week. That's my goal. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And so we find that the word of God is necessary for discipleship. The word of God is necessary for discipleship. There's a lot of Christians out there in the world today that are incredibly sincere. They really are. And unfortunately, their lives don't even come close to the Word of God. And if you had asked them if they're a disciple of Christ, they would say, yes, I am. And yet they're trying to do it without God's Word. They're trying to do it their own way. What happened to Nadab and Abihu when they tried to do it their own way? Yeah, the fire came right out of the tabernacle and burned those poor fellows up. Now, they were sincere. They had every intention of honoring God and worshiping him. But they did it their way and not his way. And God, let it be known, you don't come your way, you come my way. And we've got so many in the world doing that. I checked out a church last night for Corey and Julie that they were thinking about attending. It was pretty sad. On their website, they had a link for missions, and they had three things listed for missions. And at least two of them, and I believe the third was too, just a one-time thing during the year. That was missions. There was no church planter. There were no attempts to win people to Christ. And they called that their missions program. It's social gospel. That's a sad thing. I wanted to try to listen to some of the preaching because they didn't say what they believe. Now, they had Baptists on their church sign. I think they've strayed away from the Baptist faith for the most part, or at least Baptist practice. But I couldn't find any of the preaching to listen to try to find their what they believe. Now, they did have a link that said what we believe. Are you familiar with the church covenant? Most people aren't. But when we join a local church, a local Baptist church, there's a standard church covenant that we promise to be faithful to God, faithful to our church. When we leave, we promise that we'll join another church of like faith. We make that covenant with one another. But most people don't even realize it exists. But that's what they put in place of what they believed. We don't know what they believe on the Word of God. We don't know what they believe on salvation. We don't know what they believe on who Jesus is. We have no clue. They didn't want us to know. I'm not getting a very good opinion of this church. What do you think Jesus would think about that? Are they in accordance with God's word? I tend to think they're not. And then they had two special music ones that I found. Both of them were kids, and both of them were rock music, and both of them had the kids up on the platform dancing away to the rock beat as they tried to praise God. There's Nadab and Abihu for you. Now, they didn't have fire drop down out of heaven to strike them dead, but they're trying to worship God after their own fashion. They're not disciples. Because what is a disciple? One that continues in my word. Now, if we would go to dictionary.com to get the definition of a disciple, it's a person who is a pupil or an adherent to the doctrine of another. To the doctrine of another. People hate that word today, doctrine. That's sad. Doctrine is important. Doctrine is everything. This is a very secular dictionary. In fact, when it gave the little phrase using the word in a sentence, it said a disciple of, not Jesus, of Freud. They didn't even want to list the name of Jesus in their dictionary. An adherent to doctrine, the doctrine of another. Jesus teaches about music in his word. Jesus teaches about missions in his word. He teaches us that what we believe and our doctrine is important. And it's important to share with others. And when you get churches that refuse to do those things, are they disciples? Absolutely not. They want to go to a church where they can do what they want to do and they can be who they want to be, and religion fits nicely into their pocket when they want to pull it out because it makes them feel good. They're not disciples. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm just saying they're not a disciple. The only way you can be a disciple is through the Word of God. It's necessary. The Word of God is necessary for discipleship. All right, let's turn over to John chapter 15. This is one you know. And if you don't know, you know it. John 15, 3. This is a wonderful thing because we all live in the world. When Jesus prayed for us, he didn't pray that we'd be taken out of the world, but that we'd be kept from the world. And this is one of the ways we're kept from the world is through the Word of God. John 15, 3. Now are you clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. The Word of God cleanses. Not our outside body or our physical body, but our minds. How do we clean our minds of the slop we see day in and day out? The things we hear day in and day out, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in school, whether it be in the grocery store. You can't get away from the stuff. If you listen to the radio, if you're listening to secular radio, chances are someone's going to cuss in there somewhere. How do you get that garbage out of your mind? The answer's right here. This book is the only cleansing agent for the mind that exists. And yet so many Christians ignore it or do their 30-second devotionals. And you know where why I say that, right? Because I saw the book. That was the title, 30-Second Devotionals for Busy People. Seriously, that was the title. How devoted are you if all you got is 30 seconds for the Lord? I mean, you spend more time brushing your, at least I hope you spend more time than that brushing your teeth. You spend more time applying deodorant than you do that each day, I hope. The Word of God cleanses. Over in verse number 7, same chapter. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The word of God, it yields Christ-likeness. That's another one. Have fun fitting that in there. That's why I can't read it. Now, when we read this verse, we notice the second half of it. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And so we're thinking, this is all about answered prayer. And it is about answered prayer, but I don't think that's the primary focus of this verse if you read it carefully. Because notice that last phrase does not say, and ye shall receive what ye ask. It doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? It shall be done unto you. Done unto you. Not done for you, but done unto you. See, when we come into the Word of God, we see ourselves for who we really are. I was just reading about the centurion who sent the leaders of the tabernacle, or not the tabernacle, the synagogue, to Jesus to ask for healing for his servant because he felt unworthy. And then as Jesus almost got to the guy's house, he sent his friends. And his friends told Jesus, look, he's got a message for you. Don't come to his house. He's not worthy to have you come to his house. And Jesus honored that faith of that man. Never went to his house, but his servant was healed. You see, we need to realize who we are. The Word of God reveals that to us. Sometimes we realize that we're not what we used to be. We're so much better. And we look at our neighbors or just listen or read the news and realize, you know, there's a whole lot of bad people out there, but I'm not one of them. It's easy to get lifted up with pride. You know, there's a lot of false religion out there, a lot of churches doing the wrong thing, like the one I described a moment ago. It's easy to think, no, I got the answers. I'm what's happening. I'm the guy, or I'm the gal. No, we're just a sinner saved by God's grace. We're not worthy of what God has given to us. We need to realize the Word of God reveals that to us, but it also reveals who God is, that He's the one who loves us enough to send His Son to die for us. He's the one who promised to answer our prayer. And as we read God's word, we not only realize who we are, who God is, but who God wants us to be. And as we compare what God wants us to be with who we really are, we recognize by the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God the things that need to change, the areas we need to improve. And I think that's the motivation of the prayer in this verse. We're going to God and saying, God, have mercy on me, and by your grace, help me too. And then fill in the blank for your life, as I fill in the blank for my life. And God hears that. But it only comes through the Word of God as we see who we are, who God is, and who God wants us to be. And God promises us, if we come in sincerity, it'll be done unto us. But it comes through the Word of God. Because we're not going to see who we really are, we're not going to see who God really is, and we're not going to see who God really wants us to be outside of the Word of God. And so, the Word of God plays an integral part in our Christian life. It has so many functions, we may not even finish it in 3 weeks. Because I still have another one in John, don't I? and I am out of time already tonight, but when we study the Word of God and what it says about ourselves, I'm sorry, what it says about itself, we see this book as a magnificent book. We see this book as a necessary book. And we understand this book as a living book. And our hearts should be filled with gratitude to God for giving it to us and giving us the Holy Spirit that we might understand it. And so let's spend time in it and let's love His Word that we might have that joy and that peace. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your grace, Your goodness, Your mercy. Father, help us to spend time in Your Word and that Your Holy Spirit would make that time profitable, that You might be glorified in our lives. Now bless us as we each go our separate way. In Jesus' name, amen.